Thanks, Tim. And let me start by saying I'm honored to have Tim introduce me. Tim is the principal investigator of the TechQual project, so we'll be talking a lot about Tim's work, and hopefully I won't embarrass him too much. Just to get started, there's just a few of us here, but how many of you have heard of TechQual before? Excellent. And let's see. Nobody here was at the EDUCAUSE Southeast, right? You were. Did you go to that the session? It's a little different. Okay, we've improved it. How many of you heard about TechQual and the eCar bulletin that just came out? A few of you? Good. And y'all participate in Core Data, and y'all survey your campuses about IT services? Some? Okay. How many of you use IDLE and service management best practices? A few? Oh, good. Maybe I'll learn something from you. And how many of you have no budget or service challenges? Nobody. No hands. Well, I didn't expect any there. All right, just a little bit about what we're going to do today. Quick overview, and then basically three sections. Quite a bit on the TechQual survey. IT service management, really the nuts and bolts, and focusing more on what we think is important at Furman University, and a little bit about where we've had some challenges, and then talking about how we use the TechQual results and some of our service management feedback to help with budgets and strategy. And then we'll just summarize. And after each of these sections, we're a small enough group. Any questions? Any, you know, if you all are doing things that you want to share, I'd be happy to hear it. So once again, just the three sections. Furman University, we're in Greenville, South Carolina. That's our library. And we're 2,700 students, a little less than that, 27 IT staff. So that's a little challenging. But we're doing the best we can and using these tools. And I want to talk a little bit about TechQual. First, I want to talk about the project itself. And then I'd like to give you a quick some results of what we've done with TechQual at Furman. So, how many of you have run TechQual surveys? Pepperdine, of course. It is no cost, which I sometimes think, well, maybe Tim ought to charge for it, because then people would think it's more valuable. But he's telling me doesn't have any plans to charge for it, and it is focused on higher ed IT. Any of you done the LibQual survey? Okay, LibQual back there. It's used in the library world, and quite a few participants in that. Very similar methodology. And basically, it's based on field work that Tim has done. Tim's a sociologist, and he tries to find out what are technology services and how do you know if they're good services. And at the moment, I think the last time I counted, there was over 80 participating institutions in the TechQual project. Really, what has been found in this endeavor, this TechQual project, is that, especially through the focus groups, is that people rate services as being delivered well if they're delivered consistently, if there's really proactive and understandable communication about the services, and that the services increase collaboration. So those are the big three C's: communication, consistency, and collaboration. For those of you at Pepperdine, I did take this picture. It is Pepperdine University, where the service is hosted. It does send out individual emails to each of your sample of who you want to take the survey, so that you can tell if somebody's responded or not. You cannot see their answers, but you can tell whether they've responded or not. You can send a repeat message reminding them, please take the survey. It works out pretty well. It does rate, ask them to rate services. They can give suggestions and also open answer questions, which you can select. There are, at the moment, 18 service questions or services that are rated, and each service is rated on, people are asked to rate, what is the minimum service level you'd like for that service, what is your desired service level, and what is the perceived service level. We good on that? Those three dimensions? Okay. Minimum, desired, and perceived. And that's a little bit of a screenshot from the actual survey instrument itself. Here's another screenshot from the survey instrument itself. I know that the TechQual people are doing some usability studies to make this a little easier to fill out. It's a little dense, but that's an example of actually the first six services that are rated right there. And there are 18, as I mentioned. Furman has added a 19th one last year, and I'll talk about that. You can add basically as many ratings as you want, but the challenge is the more services you ask people to rate, the longer the survey gets. And that's something you have to balance. I think, wasn't it 35 questions was the first iteration of TechQual? 36 questions. That's down to 18. If somebody rates a service, if they say my perception of the service is less than minimum, it asks them to, a pop-up dialog box comes up and says, can you please give us a suggestion for how we could improve that service? And one of the wonderful things about the projects is all the reporting that has been built into it. It's available on the web. You can print it out. You can drill down. I know that when I drilled down last year, I was kind of wondering, why are our older or female faculty that have been with the university more than 10 years seem to be most unhappy? And I asked our provost about it. He said, well, you know, Fred, I don't know that it's just IT services that group is unhappy about. You can drill down and see, you know, see what's going on. I know it's interesting to see how do our freshmen rate services compared to seniors, that sort of thing. So that's one of the really nice things about it. And it does give you all of the suggestions and open responses. This is an example of the detailed statistics. I don't show this level of detail to anybody outside of our IT organization. But generally, when you look at it, I tell people red is bad. So that question, those three right there, that's actually Furman results from last year. We got rated as below minimum on our wireless network and reliability of the network. But it does have, and I can see on there, it shows you the minimum score, desired score, perceived. Adequacy is the difference between minimum perception and the actual what they perceive your service level as. So, for example, having adequate capacity, speed, and bandwidth, it says minus 0.7 there under adequacy. We pay a lot of attention to adequacy, and I'll talk about that in just a bit. Zones of tolerance. This is another graph produced by the TechQual reports and on the web that's just a way to look at the data. For those of you who like to see graphs, I know I am. I like to see graphs. You can see how over here, questions that were in red, it shows that they're rated below minimum, and you can see that gap. The bottom of the gray bar is the minimum level. The top of the gray bar is the desired level. And you can also see things like that question number 5 on our campus. That was really interesting because the top level is rated really low, and that had to do with mobility, mobile things like iPhones and that sort of thing. It tells us relative to things like wireless speed, network reliability, they don't rate that service as something they desire as much. So that was really interesting insight for us to see that sort of information. I want to talk a little bit about the radar charts. This is another kind of graph that you're going to see. At our campus, they've got the name of the polar ice cap charts. And generally, again, red is bad. Blue means minimum. You're perceived as above minimum. And they look sort of like this. That yellow area is the difference between your perceived and your desired. So again, that question number 5, it's not as highly desired as those first 4 questions. Interesting way to look at the data. Some people like to look at it this way. Some people like to look at it this way. But that is produced by the TechQual project. Another thing which is fairly new is it does give you the ability to look at aggregate peers. And this is an example showing by Carnegie classification. This is question number 16, getting timely resolution of problems from 2009. It's nice to see Furman was rated in the red, but guess what? Most everybody was rated in the red by their campus community. So this peer analysis is something which I find particularly helpful. And guess what? If you all participate in the TechQual project, this peer data gets even more valuable. So let me talk a little bit about how we've used this data at Furman. Some response rate. Actually had some really great response rate for a web survey from our faculty and staff, almost 50% response. That is kind of amazing, isn't it? Nearly 25% the first time we ran it for students, a little bit of fall last year. We're actually running the student survey again, hoping to have 20%. We do an incentive. Basically, we enter people if they respond to the survey, they get entered into a drawing for movie tickets. So something to I don't know, maybe our faculty and staff really like free movie tickets, and that's why they all responded. This is a comparison of 2008 and 2009 on the radar chart data. This is the student data. You can see some improvement on number 16 very clearly. The same data, 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the red. Number 19 was a new question we added. It's not one of these standard questions. We asked them to rate our campus email services, trying to figure out should we move to something like Google or some other service. Very surprising. Our students said that we were doing okay with the email service. So that was interesting. This one was a surprise. I haven't published this on our public report. This was our faculty data from 2008. I felt really bad about this. I started at Furman in 2008. But you can see all that red is not a good sign. But the good sign is, in 2009, we got big improvements. The red has gone away. Yes, sir?
So the desired chart is to have the blue, no red. What's the relationship side between the blue and the yellow?
Blue means it's above minimum, perceived as above minimum. And yellow indicates how far it is to desired, so that outer edge is their desired level. For example, I know question number 12, that has to do with our classroom equipment. And actually, we do really well with classroom equipment. And actually, you see that one is closest to the outer edge on the student survey for 2009. And the faculty aren't quite as enthusiastic about it as the students are, but it did really well. And we're continuing to see that one do well. 17 has to do with feedback, and this year's survey, I'm already seeing the students, they really like giving us the feedback, and they rated us great on feedback. Still not good on wireless, but I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. This is another graph that isn't produced by the TechQual survey, but we put it to show improvements in adequacy, and this had to do with our faculty, and you can see the first six questions, although we're still in the red on four of them, they're all moving in the right direction. All the perception is that we're getting better in terms of delivering network reliability, which you see was off the charts in 2008. We had a lot of network problems, so we've been doing better in that. And then I took and categorized the open responses, basically looked at them all. This was a lot of work, put them all in a spreadsheet, and basically it's like tagging them and say, okay, here's the tags. After I read through them all and said, there seem to be some themes here. First class is our email system, and so that's an example of a tag. Just went through and tagged all the suggestions, open-ended responses. We had one question that basically said, if you had one thing to improve about technology services at Furman, what would it be? And the big thing our students came back, no surprise, wireless coverage. Wireless, 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 that's what they responded. Wireless reliability was number two, and consistent, 2008 and 2009. This is one that's fairly recent for us. I went, and this is probably too much data on one slide, but I tried to took our adequacy and compared it to the adequacy of the peer groups, and you can see some of these things, yes, were really bad. That's the wireless questions. On the other, I mentioned that number 12 having to do with classroom technology. We're rated way above where the peer groups are. And so when I go and talk to our campus about this information, I said, you know, yeah, I know we're weak in wireless, but, you know, we're doing really well in a lot of areas. So that I think the peer group information is really valuable. So quickly, just to wrap up what we learned, 2008, when we had that really bad faculty data, it really was a bit of a shock to my staff to say, oh, my goodness, we didn't realize the faculty had such problems. And they were a bit defensive about it. I said, look, the good news is that means there's room for us to improve. And really when the 2009 data came back, it was like, whew, good thing. We're able to show improvement. Also, my bad, I gave our senior leadership too much information about TechQual when I presented the data, and I quickly learned all they want to know is how are we doing, you know, and just give them the headlines. So I've learned that lesson. Furman students, of course, want more and better wireless, and as a result of the TechQual survey, we did create a plan to basically replace the entire campus wireless network, had a budget prepared, and it was actually kind of nice because the last spring's trustees meeting, the students actually went to the trustees and said, we've told the IT people the wireless sucks. Excuse me, is that going on the tape? And as a result, we actually had a trustee who ponied up and donated the university all the wireless controllers we needed to not only replace our wireless system, but actually make sure we had complete coverage for all of the residence halls. So that was the beginning of it, the wireless controllers, and then we had to go back to the board and say, please give us the access points to go with it. And just this morning, I learned it was approved. I'm really happy about that. Yay. Thank you. So, email and internet most highly valued, mobile device support less valued, faculty perceptions improved, some things we learned. I want to talk a little bit about the TechQual future. Actually, I'm not going to talk a little bit too much about the TechQual future, other than to let you know at 4:30, there's another session. What room is it going to be, Tim?
It's
211A, talking about the TechQual project. So I invite you all to be down there to talk about it. I do want to remind you, it is free, and they have been doing usability testing, and we're expecting some changes coming up to continue to improve the survey, and obviously more participants, please. It's pretty easy to get started. You go to techqual.org, and you get IRB approval, determine your sample size, invite participants. It's not really that tough. Probably the toughest part is getting your data out of your system and sending it up to the TechQual. And it's all done on a web form. It's just common to limited data. So, any comments about TechQual? Yes, sir.
The question about sample size, do any universities do this with partial samples of their students as opposed to...
Yeah, I'm an outlier. I do it with everybody. We're only 2,700 students. So what do you say, typically 20%?
We ran the sample.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking I might have to go to that too, because as you saw that the student participation dropped a little bit, and I'm thinking, okay, I want them to think, I'm special. I've been selected to do this survey, and I've been selected to win movie tickets. So, yes, sir, in the back.
So I'm curious, we did a lot
of network engineering. We actually had a VLAN that ran across all campus buildings, and when that got bogged down, it caused all kinds of nightmares for us. And so we basically re-architected the entire campus network in that summer between.
Was the TechQual helpful in identifying that as the core issue that was affecting all the services?
It certainly focused our attention on that area, yes. Yeah, so I know that from looking at that survey, after we get the reliability up and after we get the wireless up. We've got 200 megabits of bandwidth for the campus. That's going up to 500 megabits in November, and next spring we'll be bringing it up to a gigabit. Because I know, just looking at the data, seeing the open-ended responses, that's the next pain point. So, yes, sir.
What kind of marketing or communication did you do back to your campus once you've gotten the information to kind of spell out what your plan was in response to the information?
Yeah, I think we could do a better job with communication. We certainly do a lot with our governance groups, talking to student government. There was our student newspaper got very interested, and they did an interview with me talking about TechQual, but mainly it was we need more and better wireless. And so that, I think, also helped the trustees to read the nice little editorial in the student newspaper. So, but we could do better communication. So that's a challenge for every IT organization, I think. Anything else? Ready for service management? Okay. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I do want to talk a little bit about idle processes and the techniques we've used at Furman. I suspect some of you are even further along than we are. Basically, I want to talk mostly about incident management, change management, our service catalog, and some of the future challenges we see. This is actually adapted from a book called Visible Ops Handbook, Implementing ITIL in 4 Practical and Auditable Steps. And basically what these people say is that, yeah, there's a lot of things in ITIL, but the most important ones are these: the resolution processes, your incident management, problem management, control processes, and release processes. And this has really been putting in our effort. When I started at Furman 2 years ago, things like there was no change management process. You ask, what did you do to improve your network? Well, one was we put in a change management process so that we could actually, if somebody wanted to change something, if there was going to be something that might affect the network, you better go to our change board. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. So. Service management, we are using Trackit to track incidents. There's a little chart there about how they come in based on our service groupings. I'm probably looking at, you see that big one there, it says Help Desk Multimedia Services. We're talking, well, that's kind of big. Maybe we need to break that down a little bit more, just in terms of our analyzing the data. Configuration management, also done with change management in TrackIt. Release management, we do struggle with image deployment. Of course, everybody around campus wants their own unique images. We're really looking to have some upgrade to that once we go to some more virtual desktop type initiative, and that's probably 2 years down the road, at least in terms of the budget process. Do want to talk about change management. Just a show of hands, if you were to ask your IT staff what percent of their time is spent on unplanned work, what would they say? How many would say over 50%? None. Well, when I asked my staff, they said, this is a year ago after we started the change management process, 35 to 50%. And I said, well, I'm glad you didn't say over 50, but, you know, unplanned work taking 35 to 50%, this is actually, I didn't make up these breakdowns. This actually came from a slide I found on the Institute of Internal Auditors. And this slide says, okay, if you have 50% of your work is on unplanned, that means you don't have any kind of change management process. Your environment is very chaotic and you're spending all your time putting out fires. Where we were is we had put the change management process in place. That 35 to 50% was actually about a year ago when I asked them. We had the clickers. It was a staff meeting. And they all said, you know, the clickers, nobody knew what anybody was saying, and they chose 35 to 50%. So, okay, we were just breaking in the change management system. I'm hoping, I guess I can't pull that trick on them now because they know the correct answer that I'm looking for is better than 35%. We want the change not to control the organization, but instead have the change, have the organization control the change. So this, again, was done by the Internal Auditors Association, how they train our auditors to look for change management processes. And actually, when we had our last financial audit, sure enough, our auditor asked for that stuff. He says, where's your change management process? How is it documented? Where's the evidence? And we produced it. And he said, you guys are doing a great job. Now, I looked at it thinking, we're really doing a change management light. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. So our change management process, it's really, it could be a lot tighter. Some of you probably have a lot more controls on your change management. Basically, because they'd never had it before, I just said, look, if you think it's going to interrupt service any way, shape, or form, I want to know about it ahead of time, and we'll do it. We have a weekly meeting. It's our change review board. It's actually our IT director's meeting. And we go and we look at all the changes. And I've been really liberal on and saying, look, I want you to also target these changes to go into these designated times, these maintenance windows. And we actually have two. And I think, you know, I'm trying to be real nice. One is first thing on a Wednesday morning, midnight to 6, and the other is Saturday morning. And we actually track, do these things get done during the change management window? Do they get done as an emergency, which they say, I can't wait. We really need to reboot this server right now, something like that. Or is it, how are we doing with that? And this is actually the graphs we've been tracking. You can see they've been pretty good in terms of, we actually say detected change. The blue is that actually went through the change process. And on the, this is the graph on the left. And you see that this most recent September, every one of the changes went through the change review process. Very happy to see that we had no emergency changes. If you look at last September, you'd see that most of our changes were emergencies. Well, what were happening was we got feedback from a security audit. And it was like, okay, we need to get this stuff fixed right away. So that's why there were so many changes last September. But you'll notice that all those changes last September, even though they were emergencies, we did manage to fit them into maintenance windows. Unfortunately, I looked at our October numbers, and we did have two detected changes. So I'm going to have to go back and we're going to have a chat about that. But we do track these changes to make see how we're doing with change management processes. And that is, one, I think, one of the reasons our network reliability in our customers' mind has improved so dramatically. One of the other things we've been working on is developing a catalog of services. This relates to when talking about budget. What is it that we're doing? What is it that we say we're going to be promising the campus community? And actually, we've got this now into Part of our organizational security and data classification, I kind of snuck it in there into this policy saying we're going to have a service catalog, and when it comes time to talk about funding and you want a new service or something like that, let's talk about, are we going to get more funding? Is there things that you want us to do maybe not so expeditiously, or maybe there's things we can cut? Okay, so we're trying to say, here's all the things we do. You know, maybe we say, we'll get back to you in 8 hours. You know, this is the service level we're trying to provide. What are the key performance indicators? I know one that surprised me did a key performance indicator on contract management. We actually had why are you worried about contract management? We had an auditor come through and said, IT, if it hasn't, you know, if it's one of these SaaS contracts, has to sign the contract or at least approve it. And I said, okay, great. Well, what would be a good key performance indicator? How many days it takes us to review and get the contract negotiated with service level agreements for a SaaS solution, the whole bit? And, you know, well, I could probably turn those around in 2 weeks. So I started tracking it. My average is 21 days. Well, good. I'm glad I didn't agree to that without trying to figure out what my service level is going to be. So, again, that's an example of what we do with our service catalog. You can go, and it's off of our Computing and Information Services website. We actually have 62 services organized into 6 service lines. You can go and look at it. Each one of these service catalog entries looks sort of like this, and I stole this format from Purdue. Anybody here from Purdue? No. Well, thank you, Purdue. You can see we have, you know, description, the features, who is the owner, the service administrator. We do it by vice president. So I'm a member of the president's council, and I go and chat each year with these vice presidents, say, here's what we're doing for your services. We don't really have them as formal service level agreements yet, but we're starting to lay that groundwork so that, you know, right now we're collecting data on each of these services so that we can report back, like that contract service level. You know, how many days can we really turn these around? You know, our key performance indicators. Where are the charges? And let's see. Yeah. Service management challenges. I mentioned the incident tracking. We revised them so that our tracking system more closely corresponds to our service catalog. We are collecting data, hoping to have the service level agreements with being able to actually say, yes, we are making these key service targets. If not, what do we need to do to improve that service? And I know eventually, and I hope it's not too soon, but I suspect our vice president for business affairs would love to see, Fred, you've got all this information on your service catalog and all your dependencies. Now that you've really quantified all of the things that you're going to do and, you know, the service level you're going to provide, what's it going to cost me? And that's something that I'm really looking at for down the road. Yes, sir.
When you say revised to use service catalog, does that mean in your ticket system you incidentally link to services that are listed there?
Yes. Yeah, some of them we've simplified a little bit more towards service line. Like we have a couple of things related to network, so it might just say network, but
service line's like a category of services?
Yeah. So we did it. 62 would have been a little much. And so some of them were grouped together because there's not a heck of a lot of things like telephone. It's all one. So that's what I had to chat about, what we're doing at Furman for service management. I'd love to hear, are you all further ahead than we are? Where are you all in terms of idle and service management? What works, what doesn't? How many of you here are doing service level agreements right now? Excellent. You all have service catalogs? You've all heard this before? No? Is it all working out well for you? Yeah, well, it's a way to hold yourself accountable. And, of course, it's another way when you're talking about measuring your customers' perceptions of services. You know, it's trying to figure out, all right, if my customer really wants a service level up here and we're only able to deliver a service level that's down here, what was was it yesterday when the fellow said, you know, the gap between your resources and your aspirations is where innovation is born. And we got lots of room for innovation. Yeah, how long have y'all been working with the service catalog and all that? Okay. Well, let me talk about how this sort of also affects how we're doing with budgets too. So I don't want to keep you here beyond our session time. So just a little bit on this. Obviously, everybody here had financial challenges, right? Furman has also had challenges. Talk a little bit about Service Catalog as a budget tool and how it's affected our strategy. I know some of you have worse, and we've all had challenges. Some people say, that's not too bad, Fred. Well, everybody has their own pain points. You know, early retirement plans, no raises, and we've all been through this, right? TechWall basically told us the wireless thing again. It became a priority for the institution. Would have loved to have addressed it earlier, but it's nice that the institution has found the budget to do the wireless now. We're able to back off in our mobility support, and actually we had changed our whole model of how we do cell phones. The institution used to purchase cell phones and, you know, say, and hand them out and say, you know, this was the institution's cell phone. And what we did was say, well, you know, maybe we don't need to do that. Maybe what we ought to do is give people a stipend and let them buy their own phone. Well, when we do that, we can say, well, you know, you can also buy whatever you want, but also, you know, we'll help you do the settings for how to get your email if you get a smartphone and get your calendar and that sort of thing. But it's your phone, and you pick it, so it's more of a consumer service. You know, if you have trouble with your service, maybe you ought to go talk to Verizon or AT&T rather than coming to our help desk, because that was one of the things that was really bogging us down, was they'd come and say, here, configure my phone. Well, why are we putting so much effort into this when our community doesn't really value it that much, and especially if it's a consumer service? We know that they liked their classroom technology, and we also talked about how the faculty were unhappy, things we did to help improve that. We also worked a lot on web services. Again, that was one of the other areas, basically put a portal online, so that came up too, so that improved, and did a whole content management system, so another thing that helped us with our numbers there. I talked about as a budget tool earlier. I mentioned that I'm supposed to meet now with each vice president to attain additional funding if they want a higher service level than what we've talked about. We aren't there yet on the service catalogs, but that's where we're heading. This one's kind of tough to talk about. Because yes, sir.
Did you do an user evaluation when you were saying that the service catalog about what groups of services?
Actually, yes, we did usability testing, and actually we listed all of them out on index cards, and said, you know, we didn't know what our service lines were, and we said, you know, do these services make sense to you? And so they said, yeah, we understood those. Okay. Now, if you group these into categories that make sense to you. And that was actually how we chose our service lines, as they said. We did card sorting, a typical usability exercise, and that's how they chose the service lines. And surprising, you know. Well, of course, they have one for network, they have one for servers, help desk and multimedia. I'm going to probably look back at that one and mention most everything seemed to be flowing into that group. So, a little bit of usability testing. This one is interesting because I was hoping to be able to use the service catalog to justify another position or two. Well, what happened was, in my eagerness to say, we need to get our service catalog done because we really need to have this other position, and while we're doing it, we're going to go and look at all our position descriptions, and my staff just said, whoa, Fred, you're just going too fast, man. And so I've had to back off a little bit on that, saying, okay, I'm gung-ho, but I know we got to keep the trains running on time. So let's just back off a little bit on that. And okay, so we won't have our service level agreements done this year. Maybe we'll try for next year. And that'll give us a little chance to actually track some of these statistics and make sure we're doing it right. But on the other hand, one of the things by backing off is it's made me think, okay, well, we've got a new president at Furman. Let's talk about resources. Let's talk about the TechQual survey and our outcomes, inputs. And I know we've got a new strategic plan coming. And what I'm trying to do is just to look ahead and say, okay, I know we've got to have communication. I know we've got to have collaboration. And I sure want to see that gap between aspirations and resources close. So I want to see some innovation. What kind of things can we put into our strategic plan to improve that? And it's actually been working on it while I've been here at the conference, trying to, because we've had a number of meetings, and I'm trying to put it into, we've got the, all the things I want to go into it. So basically say, how can I have TechQual, our service management strategy, all the projects we need to do, the wireless and the whole bit, into, I don't know, 7 pages that somebody will actually read and say, yeah, you're right, Fred, you need to have another position or two to actually do the kind of work the university needs to get done. So it's a question mark there, because I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm hoping that we're going to have good results, the good, same good results we have with the wireless project, with the strategic plan, and be able to move forward in that regard. So I mentioned TechQual and strategy, wireless good news. The board loved it, and the significant, I made these slides before I knew the what was going on, and we're actually working on the public announcement right now. I just got the news this morning. So that's it. Budgets and strategy, TechQual, outcomes. How are we doing? What do you want to talk about? Yes? No, we looked at it, and it was a little too complex for us. So we went and built our own very simple form, and people can submit it on the web, and it actually goes to each director so that they know if it's an emergency, they need to respond now instead of for the change review board. But we just still take them to the change review board when if it's not something that's an emergency. Yeah, we built our own. It's quite a bit simpler than TrackIt. Are you using TrackIt? Okay. Yeah, we are using it for. Yeah, we use it for configuration management. We also do problem management. That's also much simpler. We actually have a spreadsheet that we review each week that says here are the incident. You know, you have onesies and twosies and things like. A problem is our wireless network needs to be replaced. Well, that's a big problem, but we do track that. It might be we need to do a better job deprovisioning accounts. Yes, we have a problem deprovisioning this account. We need to make, you know, our accounts smoother. We list that as a problem. And what we try and do is say, how can we make sure this list of problems gets lower and smaller and smaller? Right now I've got it onto an Excel spreadsheet that I can print out in a page and a half. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. So problem management. How well do you do problem management, all of you that are doing ITIL right now? Silence. Okay, well, that's a big one, because it's one thing to handle the incidents. You know, they call the help desk, something has to be done. It's another thing to say, I have this problem which keeps recurring. I know the one that I'm trying to think about right now is our network access control system. Well, students aren't happy with it. I know we need to improve it. So how can I, they actually call it, it's a new verb on Furman's campus, they call it being VLANed, which means they've been put into a remediation VLAN. I'm trying to think, okay, how can we make it not so painful for our students when they get run afoul of our network access control system? That's a problem.
So is that a problem or a project?
It's a problem right now that may become a project. We haven't actually said this is a project yet. So if somebody comes and says, I know the solution, I know I've been talking to an institution here at the conference that's using the same vendor that we are for network access control, and they seem to be doing a much better job of it. So I think we're going to be speaking with them fairly soon.
So you're tracking those outside
of TrackIt also? It's like one line. We need to improve network access control for students. So real simple. What's another one? I've got a problem with a desktop, what is it? No, it's desktop. It's a telephone conference system in one building. And my techs have troubleshot everything. But guess what? The building is where our development office is, and they're wanting to do telephone calls all the time. And they say when they're on a telephone conference call, on the half hour, they hear beeps, and it's like the call drops. Don't know. We're working on it. It's an open problem because it keeps recurring, one or more incident. So. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap it up. Anything else you want to talk about? Yes, sir.
Did you do, when you were implementing, let's say, incident management, did you do a before and after survey?
Incident management. Incident management has been, they've used TrackIt before I started. What the change was is that we tied it to the service catalog. And so basically, December, when this semester is over, we're going to be saying, okay, let's start looking at the statistics now that we've got everything tied to the service catalog. They've been doing it for a number of years now, so it's hard to say before and after. Yeah, I'm looking at things like what the outcomes are going to be like. If you saw that question number 16 on the TechQual survey, which was time to resolve problems, well, that's obviously tied right into TrackIt. So, yeah, we're going to have the key performance indicators on TrackIt, but the real measure is how we do in the perception of our customers. Yes. It's available on the web, and if you want to know more about the TechQual project, it is, go right to here. It's the meeting today is at room 211A at 4:30 p.m. So it's just, 15 minutes, right? Yeah, it's free. It's on the web. It's hosted. The only thing that causes you have to do a little work for it is to upload your data to it. All of the reports come right out of it. It's a wonderful resource. At the moment, there are 18 core questions that you can use. They're core because you can use them to compare against your peers. Anything above and beyond that, you can choose. And there's also open questions. There's even a protocol guide that gives you suggested sample open questions to use for your community. And the protocol guide, if you haven't been to the TechQual site itself, it's at techqual.org. You can download the protocol guide there and learn a lot more about it. Or you can come to the meeting today at 4:30. I know one thing that happens is the people that respond quickly to the survey are usually the most negative. Okay, well, I hope any more questions? I hope I see you. If you want to learn more, 4:30, 211A. Thank you very much.